What's up, everybody, and welcome back to Rantpocalypse Talks, Cinemax, and Robert Kirkman, and Skybound, and Image Comics, and whoever the hell else is, Outcast. I'm Justin.
Hey, I'm Kelly. I actually feel like it's my Outcast, too, because I love the show. So I'll claim it for Rantpocalypse.
There you go. Rantpocalypse is Outcast, because exactly. You're right. I mean, holy shit. This episode, this show is so damn good so far. I feel so bad that we've waited this long to start doing our recaps and such, because holy crap, we've been missing out for the last few Fridays now.
The good thing is we get to watch them all in a ball. So that part's good. We've talked about that before. We like to watch them all in a row, and this worked out well for me.
Yeah, it is actually kind of nice because we don't have to wait that week and everything where everybody else, they watched them week to week and they had to wait and, you know,
Sorry, suckas. You should have did the way we did it.
Yeah, but then when we catch back up, then we'll do it week to week. So we are here to discuss season one, episode two. And it's entitled, I Remember When She Loved Me. I like how they put the, I remember they put it in parentheses, so that way it's, you know, it would have been when she loved me, but I remember when she loved me.
Yeah.
I'm not 100% sure who directed and who wrote this episode, but who cares, because they did a great job. So this episode dives way more into Kyle's backstory. We get a new mission for Mark and Chief Giles. Rev Anderson gets fired up about putting butts in the pews, and a mysterious new character is introduced. So what did you think overall about this episode?
I loved it. It was awesome. I'm not a big church goer. I'd go to Reverend Anderson's church because the whole idea of a preacher saying, you know, getting the butts in the pews, I like that. I like the fact that he doesn't mind drinking a beer and he's, you know, looking for love. So
I know. Where's this preacher been at all my life? Because I would have went to church more often. The most of the time when I went to church, I was bored to tears. And with Rev Anderson, I think I would have been there every Sunday, even when WWF was on. So if you're an older person out there, you remember that on Sundays at 11 o'clock Central Time, freaking WWF, which is the Worldwide Wrestling Federation, now it's WWE, used to be on at that time frame, and that's when church starts.
And that was back before DVR and the internet. So you it's kind of like it was the devil going, we'll keep them at home.
So the devil was WWF? The devil was Hulk Hogan, the Undertaker?
No, the devil was he owned the show. The network, dude. That's what I'm trying to think of.
Oh, the okay. I was like, well, WWF does own the show, so.
Okay, don't be a smartass. Don't just look at me like the, you know, and let the crickets put a, you know, cricket sound effect in there if you can. That was just horrible.
By the way, this is my mom that's talking, so maybe I've drove her crazy or something, just like Kyle drove his mom crazy.
I'm wondering as you watch this, you know, with us being a, you know, mother and son duo, this, we have a unique perspective obviously on this show because, you know, not all reviewers
because you locked me in the closet when I was a kid. Yep, that's the unique relationship.
And you locked me in the closet and then, you know, you knocked all my teeth out.
Yes, that's very true. Okay, that's not true, but you do.
I do what? Teeth. Oh, I do. I'm crazy. No, you did not knock them out.
I did not knock them out. No.
I feel so badly for this mom, you know, knowing, because I know what it's like. I love you with all my heart, with every part of my being, and the idea of the fight that she had to put on to try to not be insane, not be possessed, not, you know, not beat your kid. It's just, again, this show is heartbreaking for me.
Yeah, no, you're completely right. When I was watching those scenes, for me, like you relate to obviously the mom portion of the show, to her character Sarah Barnes. For me, I'm relating to Kyle in the sense that I'm thinking, oh my god, how awful would this be to have you, my mom, be in this catatonic state, you know, we had this fantastic relationship and then it just went completely to shit and you beat the hell out of me for, I don't know how long this happened in Cal's life, but let's just say months, years, because even Norville says, you know, we, my wife and I, we knew what was going on. He said that in the premiere episode. It had been going on for a while. So yeah, I mean, I'm just thinking the whole time, I'm like, this is devastating to see this play out. Like I would be so heartbroken having to deal with that in my life. So I can only imagine for Kyle, his character. I mean, that's just gut wrenching.
It's like if you are in a bad situation from the beginning, it's not as bad. You know, you grew up with it being terrible. You're used to being terrible. You've already, you know, walled your heart in.
And you overcome it. And hopefully it's not terrible after that.
Right. But when it was wonderful and, you know, hearts and flowers and him telling his mom through the window, I love you. And to go to just, you know, they're outside playing in the sprinkler and suddenly she freaks out and starts eating dirt and goes insane.
Yeah, I know that part was insanely crazy. It was such an awesome scene to see. But you're totally right. It's basically the equivalent of you are born a bazillionaire, then your money is all taken away, and you're dirt poor for the rest of your life.
That's what you equate this to? This horrible heartbreak of losing your mother's love to losing all your money. You're kind of an asshole. I should have beat you as a child. That's
exactly. You should have gotten those switches on me a few more times.
Okay, so I never switched you. So just FYI, he did not get beat. It brings into light to me that, okay, so where is the dad in all of this?
It's so weird to have you say that. That's something I've never thought of in the comic books because, you know, we're introduced to Kyle and his mom in the comic books, but you really only see a lot of the abusive relationship in the comic books thus far. Like this episode was a huge deviation from the comics, which was so nice to see because I loved the premiere episode, that it was such a faithful recreation of the comics. And then we dived off a little different way, which is great. And yet I've never thought about the dad, like not once. So maybe we're going to get more story about his dad in this TV show, and maybe it's in the comic books as well, and I just haven't gotten to that portion.
And we are going to get to our top three, and one of, I'm just going to question the mysterious man that you talk about in the synopsis, and he's very well dressed. Is that possibly the dad? Did he get with Sarah just strictly to make Kyle?
I don't know. That could be that'd be very interesting. Is that getting into basically biblical scenarios or something like with?
Well,
the,
I don't know. I mean,
devil?
Because is he? That's my question too. Is, you know, is he the devil? Is he the devil's boss? You know, I mean, you know, the demon's boss. I don't know. Is he human? So.
No, I have so many questions about him. I mean, lots and lots of questions about that character. I don't think that he's his dad. But I could see some scenario where Kyle himself he was manufactured, if you will. Like, you know, he's not a robot or anything, but that all the stars had to align to create Kyle, because we do, you know, even in the short one episode and then this episode now, we know that these demons are... They're invested in Kyle. There's something going on there. Right. I know I'm trying not to dive into the comics and bring too much into this discussion, but I'll just say that yes, they're you know, they have been seeking him out.
I mean, this is not it's not a random possession. It's not just some Joe Blow walking by. Hey, let's jump in him, and you know, it's obvious. It's special that he's very special.
Yeah, there's some kind of connection for sure between, you know, Reverend Anderson, Kyle, because they keep coming into Reverend Anderson's life, and he in turn brings Kyle into everything. You know, we get like at the very end of this episode, I don't know if you caught it, it was only an audio soundbite, is you can hear Reverend Anderson coming into the house.
Kyle, exactly.
So it was really cool. So we know that Reverend Anderson was there. He even speaks to it throughout the episode as well.
I love that, the fact that he has been in Kyle's life all this time. So you know that this is a special relationship. And also he has to also, you know, carry some guilt, just like the neighbor did, that they didn't do anything about the whole abuse from the mom.
Yeah. it's insane to think that that wouldn't have been broadcasted, but I've got to remember, you know,
when it was.
Yeah, you go back even in just the 90s, and right, growing up as a kid, you were closed off so much more. I mean, mm-hmm, when you went to your room, you went to your room. You could, yeah,
you didn't
go
get
book,
on, you didn't get on the internet.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you maybe had a video game system, yeah, but you may have had that taken away, and it wasn't online capabilities on your PS4s and stuff like that, or
right,
your Nintendo Entertainment Systems back in the day. So yeah, I guess I could see where, you know, the entire town may have known about it, because this is a very small town, and
yeah,
gossip gets started in towns like this, and it spreads like wildfire. But maybe everybody was just scared to do something about it.
Well, and the neighbor says, you know, we should have done something about it, but mm-hmm, we heard it and it just sounded like discipline. You know, it's, yeah, like boys that age do need their butt whooped. Obviously, I didn't enough.
Yeah, you should have done it.
I mean, I should have done it. I can't even, you know, maybe I think maybe I spanked you, you know, one time. I don't even remember. I know your dad did though. So,
oh, I got the belt. So yeah, don't you people worry out there. Like, you're like, oh man,
he didn't, get Brad.
Yeah, yeah, he didn't get anything. No, I got the snakeskin belt, people. Yeah. So yes, yeah, that'll,
and it was also his dad, just in case you watched the other video about, letting you watch all those horrible movies.
Yes.
Scary as shit movies. Not me.
Yeah, no, you wouldn't let me do that. But my dad did. So, okay, let's get into our top three.
Right.
So that way we can discuss some of our favorite moments from the episode and then give our overall score of I Remember When She Loved Me, episode two of Outcast. So you can start it off for us with your number three.
My number three is when Kyle's sister, Megan, against her better judgment, gives Amber, that's his daughter's name, right? Is Amber?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yes. Kyle's gift that he so sweetly and lovingly wrapped, but it was a book from his childhood that he enjoyed. So Amber gets the gift, loves it. We see her that she's fallen asleep, you know, reading it. And my thought at first was, oh, that is so sweet. And then I thought, holy crap, what if this has something to do with the possession that he's, you know, what if it's tainted? I don't know. I'm terrified now.
I know it's almost like everything Kyle touches turns to shit.
Exactly.
And so you have to worry that, like, okay, is it like a Harry Potter scenario where there's Horcruxes in these books and they, mm-hmm, they escape, mm-hmm, and everything.
Right.
And, these demons possess other people through that, scenario. I don't think so. But I get what you're saying. And I love that moment too. It was very touching. That was definitely a difference from the comic book as well, and I loved it. Like, I absolutely loved that they changed this up, because in the comic book, Megan goes to meet Allison in like a coffee shop or something, and there was, like, honestly, there was no good reason for her to be in the coffee shop. One, because they're in different, completely different towns and everything.
Right.
So they just met up in this coffee shop. They have a conversation. They talk about Amber a little bit, but I like that this gave Megan an actual reason to go visit Alice and everything. It was a little bit better of a reason than in the comic books. Robert Kirkman said that the show is basically it will fill some of the holes in the comic books. Like, some of the stuff that got cut out in the comic books, that the show is going to come in and fill it. So it'd be very interesting. You know, we'll never be able to talk to him, but I'd love to read some interviews to find out, does he have like this entire, you know, basically manuscript, and it does have all this other random stuff in it that we're getting to see filled in,
right?
Or is it like more of the Outcast show writer's room coming in and saying, like, oh, well, it'd be really interesting if we changed this scene up, as opposed to her just going to meet her in a coffee shop where, like, it makes more sense that it's her birthday and, you know, Kyle's going to give her this gift and everything. So I really like that. I thought it was a really, really cool scene. I looked that book up,
yeah,
Homer Price. I was like, oh, maybe it has some kind of significance with,
right,
the show. No,
nothing.
I couldn't find anything.
A book that some boy would enjoy. Now, of course, now you saying that that wasn't in the comic, for me, answers the question, then I would think that, you know, I mean, it would be really odd if they suddenly wrote a book that had some demonic possession attached to it into the show and it not be in the comic. So now I feel better. Okay, so good.
Yeah, I think she's safe.
She got a book from her daddy. She doesn't know it's from her dad, but it's sweet that they, you know, enjoyed the same read.
Exactly. So. She already got her ass beat by her mom. I think Amber's, you know, she's due for some good times in
yes.
life.
Yeah.
You know, maybe not a whole lot of good times considering the fact that we're getting all these.
Oh, yeah, shit's gonna happen. Okay, yeah. So what's your number three?
My number three, we talked about it briefly earlier, Reverend Anderson getting riled up, putting asses in pews. I love that so much. His name's Philip Glenister. This is his name in real life.
Yeah.
And I think he's doing a phenomenal job as Reverend Anderson. I love that he's telling that story. You know, he's like, I'd rather be out fishing than living at old or listening to old cantankerous Reverend Anderson. And, you know, people start laughing because that's what you think of when you go to church. You know, you
yes.
get, you know, the nice, funny sermons and everything. They put real life situations into their biblical teachings and everything. And I just loved it when he said, "You think this shit's funny?
Yeah. What are you laughing about?"
Yeah.
And also, I mean, the thing was, is because I watched that scene back just because I was curious about it, and he's smiling as he says it. So if you smile at me, I always anxiously giggle anyway.
Yes.
Go ahead, smile at me, Justin.
You can't see it.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I agree. That puts people in awkward.
Yes,
moments.
It does.
You know, if you're just creepily smiling at me, then I'm gonna be like, "What the hell?" I'm gonna okay. Should I laugh now? Is this person gonna stab me in the face? I don't know.
All right.
Yeah, no, I love Reverend Anderson. I love that moment. Thought it was great, and I love that he's got such a fire. Like his, you know, this is his crusade.
Yes,
and he's got to get his congregation on board because yeah, there was definitely a lot of. Seats not being filled in that church.
Yep. And you know, you got to show up, people. Can't just go out and go fishing, so they say.
Can't just watch WWF.
Exactly. All right. So my number two is the end of the fight that, you know, occurs with Kyle and his mom, and she barfs the demon up and it forms this supernatural noose that goes over and hangs Kyle and it chokes him. I don't know, did it choke him? Did it choke him to death? Did he die? Because it let go and he falls to the ground. We don't ever see so we don't know.
I don't know about that either. That was my first thought. I was like, wait a second. Is
he dead?
Dead? What's going on here?
I don't know. It wouldn't really explain things because it'd be kind of odd. Why would demons want him if he's already dead? But anyway.
Well, he's like a vessel or something like that.
Right.
I mean,
right.
Yeah, that's one of the biggest questions from this episode for me.
Yeah. Huge question. But his mom laying there and helplessly watching as all this happens, cause she sees the whole thing unfold, you know, and, I'm assuming that it was immediately after that that she goes into a vegetative state. I don't know because, you know, other than the fact that she doesn't seem to be able to move, her brain was there.
That's kind of what I was thinking is that, yeah, that's basically whenever her and Kyle are getting into that fight. I mean, you see that some of his blood gets on her. I mean, and it almost looked like a teardrop got on her as well. Because I think it's not only the blood, it's like every part of Kyle can either hurt these demons or strengthen these demons apparently.
Yeah.
I think that was kind of showcasing that she couldn't do anything to get to Kyle in that moment, because obviously she would have, because the demon had gone out of her body. But she was in that catatonic state where all she could do was just watch in sadness. And I mean, it made me super damn sad. That was not cool.
Yeah, that was so awful. And I am so curious to find out what happened. Did he breathe? Is he dead? I don't know. So
yeah, we know he's not dead. But we know that we don't know what ultimately happened there. Yeah, I don't know. That's I can't wait to find that out either. Hopefully, that's not one of those things where
They never come back to it.
Yeah. I mean, obviously we would know, I guess, at that point that he just got choked out, but you would always still question it. You're like, oh my God, is he, you know, you watch certain shows, you're like, are they clones? Are they, you know, are they reincarnated people or something?
When you start doing supernatural stuff for me, to me, it puts everything on the table.
Exactly.
Anything can happen. So.
Yes. No, I completely agree with you. All right. My number two, which is something that was also different on the show.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to say you already talked about.
No. Okay, no, you didn't talk. So far, this is like a monumental occasion that we do not have the exact same top three. But this was different from the comic to the show. And I'm super glad that they put this in there because I love it. But that's Chief Giles and Mark's mission. Holy crap. That was creepy as shit. For one, it feels like we've got some Seven/Silence of the Lambs / True Detective crazy.
True Detective,
going on.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too.
Yeah, it definitely felt True Detective because we're in this like super rural setting, and then we see all these animal sacrifices. They're like nailed to these trees. It was crazy.
It was crazy, and they went out of their way to seemingly put these animals in, you know, in a very in a crucified looking manner to me, because they didn't just nail them up there where they just hung, you know. I mean, they were all splayed out. So that was creepy. And I have ridden horseback through that same woods, I know, a bazillion times, and I'm never going back there again.
That was another thing for me too. Like that hit really close to home, because growing up, you hear about these places where they're devil worshipers.
Like, right.
They'll go out there in the middle of the woods. And they will make animal sacrifices, and you know, they have like a bonfire set up. It's like creepy as shit, and that's real, people. Like,
right.
I don't know where you're growing up. If you've never heard of that, grow up in the country, and you will definitely hear that shit. And I remember like the creepy ass road that, you know, my dad was like, "Don't go down that road at night. You know, that's where devil worshipers are. Boy, don't go down there." And so I never did, but you had to do it. You had to do it once, and. Uh-huh. Sure enough, you can see people out there. They're doing crazy shit.
Really? You did. Oh. You idiot.
Well, it was the same dirt road where I grew up that also had this really creepy bridge. You probably remember maybe like horror stories of this bridge. It's like, I can't remember what it was called, but so you got the creepy bridge already.
Yeah.
And that one's really creepy. And then you go over the bridge and you're into like even more creepyville with people out there sacrificing animals. So
oh my god.
Yeah, so that one was great for me. Plus I loved Giles and Mark's back and forth. I love the fact that they have conflicting ideologies, which is really cool to see, because it's nice to know that not everybody's on board with the demonic possessions and shit going on. That some people are like, you know, these people are crazy, because everybody else seems to be on board. Like you know, lot of the other people in the show they're buying into Reverend Anderson really quickly.
I think the reason why is, I mean, you've got a very Bible belty town.
Yes.
If you read the Bible, there's a lot of that stuff that's going on in there. So if you believe in the Bible, you're going to believe in that kind of stuff. So, and that's why one of the things that with that book of Amber's, I have friends that will not go to the movies. Even if they're going to go see Bambi at the movies, because maybe the last movie that was shown in there was an R-rated movie. And some of the demons are left over behind that are going to attach yourself to you when you're in a, I'm like, what?
You're like, oh my gosh.
No, they scare me. They just scare me. That's what they do. They scare me.
No, those people definitely scare me. Yeah. No, that's very weird. I don't think we have like a Necromimicon. I can never pronounce that word right from the Evil Dead movies, where it's like the evil book that is basically.
Yeah,
it's basically the devil's book.
Yes,
so
exactly. Well, don't never say never.
Yeah, exactly.
You want to be kind of generic on that kind of stuff, so that you don't get involved.
Indeed.
You know what I'm saying?
Indeed.
Okay, my number one is the dude in the suit. Is he the devil? ? Is he the demon's boss? Because, you know, he is dressed nicely. But when he goes in to talk to Kyle's mom, and, you know, and he's telling her, you know, even though you fought so hard and, you know, you were had so much fire to you, you were trying so hard to keep from having this happen to you, and I'm assuming happening to Kyle as well. I would have to say that that's was a big part of her fight, even though maybe we don't see that yet. And when he says it doesn't matter, we still have Kyle, and you see that tear go down his mom's eye, and I'm like, oh damn.
Yeah, see if you can see this real quick.
Let's see. Okay, there's a little glare on the what does that say?
I'm trying to so you may not be able to see it all that well. Yeah, you can't see it. Darn
something
it.
About we have him.
Yeah, anyway. it's basically like this was taken word for word, panel for panel from the comic books, because you'll see the mysterious headed man right here. And he, you know, he's talking to Sarah Barnes, talking to Kyle's mother. And yeah, that's when he tells her the worst part is your son will never know how much you fought back, how much you resisted, and he says, you would have given your life to stop us. And in a sense you did. That makes me want to cry every time. But yeah, that little shot of her, you can't really see it all that well, but yeah, she's got the teardrop in her eye in the comic as well.
So you know that we don't know how much of her surroundings, you know, that she's aware of, but obviously she's aware when this guy comes. And if it's the devil, he's going to make sure that she's able to be aware.
Yeah, it's such a sad moment. Good God. I mean, they're really doing a fantastic job of torturing us with his mom's plight in life, because... Yeah. You know, this sucks. I mean, she was super happy. I love seeing all those scenes of Kyle's mom earlier, you know, when they're playing back and forth. She's squirting the water at him and everything.
The flowers she has growing around her home. And I mean, obviously they were happy. They had a great relationship.
You see, that home was nice at one point.
It was nice. And that was weird for me. So I'm thinking, this is the same house. Because now it just looks like it's in the middle of this field, this decrepit, you know. I do like the fact that Kyle is making an effort. He's got water running in there now, and he unpacked some boxes.
Yeah, so, I mean, the house is coming together sort of nicely.
It's better.
You know, it's a fixer-upper still. I mean, it would be one of those HGTV homes where they go in and they're like, oh, my God.
This wall must go. This wall must go.
Yeah, exactly. That was my number one as well. The introduction of the mysterious hatted man. I know who he is in the sense of I know his name, because he does get introduced in the comic books. He is a very large player in the comic books. It's going to be very exciting to see more of him. That's as far as I'm going to go at this point, on my thoughts. I love that it's Brett Spiner that's playing him, freaking Data from Star Trek.
Right. I
would have never in a billion years let's cast this guy.
That wouldn't have been my casting either, because in the comic book, you see that he appears to be a more robustly handsome fellow.
Yeah, he's got a very square jaw. Mm-hmm. I don't know who I would... I'm thinking I just had him in my head. Maybe a... But this wouldn't work either. Oh, I know who would work perfectly for this character. This is not taking away anything from Brett Spiner. I don't know how well he's going to play this character or not yet. I think he delivered the lines beautifully in this episode. And, I mean, he gave it some punch, just like there's in the comic book. The guy that's on Mad Men, the boss, Don... Yeah. Don's... Is it Don?
Don Draper? Don Draper.
Don Draper's boss, though. The older guy with the silver hair.
Silver hair. His last name is Steele on there. But because I just finished watching all of the episodes. I can't believe I'm ashamed, because I kind of have been wanting to start creeping on this guy after watching Mad Men. Because I'm like, this guy's amazing. He is sexy. They had a couple of scenes. Dude was in the bed. Nothing on but a pillow in a, you know, certain area.
Very strategic spot.
Exactly. No, it was a phone. It was a telephone. So.
Oh, wow.
But that was the back day when the phones were larger.
It wasn't like a cell phone. He's like, hey, we got a cell phone.
No. Yeah. So, but yeah,
on rotary phone covering his
exactly. But you're right. That would have been some excellent casting, but
visually wise, that's what I pictured is somebody like that. Like I wish I could remember his name. What is it? All right.
Okay. I'll look it up. Yeah, you just keep talking.
Look it up on your phone. So, okay. So that was my number one as well. I love that. I loved his conversation with Sarah. I cannot wait to find out more about his character. Even if, you know, like I said, I'm only up to the end of issue 12, and you still have not gotten his like complete story of what's going on. You get little hints that you can read into, but you're not like, it's not, you know, straight out told to you, like, this is who this dude is.
Okay. Hang on one second. It's John Slattery.
John Slattery. That's it.
And I mean, look at that face. For God's sakes, look at that face. Look at that hair. You handsome man, you.
Yeah, he would have been great. I think he would have been the perfect visual choice. But again, I want to see how Brett Spiner does. I wouldn't have never guessed that. But again, that's cool. I'm happy with the casting. I'm happy with the casting of everybody. There's one thing. Well, I'll let you get into it in your review score. So, what do you give this episode of Outcast? Bacons.
Okay. Again, we score 5 bacons is the top. 1 bacon really is not great. Although no. 1 bacon is still great.
Yeah. 1 bacon's better than no bacons.
No bacons. Exactly. I'm going to give this a 5 bacon.
Wow, man. I mean, any reason, like particular reason why you're giving it 5 bacons?
Because of the fact that we're finding out more about everybody still continuing on with the backstory. We found out more about the whole thing, how it went down with his mom, I'm loving this show. So there's no reason for me not to give it 5 bacons.
No, I think that's perfectly acceptable. If 5 bacons, that is a glorious score. I think Outcast deserves all the bacons that you give it. So far be it for me to take away bacons from Outcast. I'm going to give the episode 4 1/4 bacons.
What the hell?
What the hell, man? No, I love the episode as well. I thought it was a fantastic episode. I don't even remember what I gave the premiere.
I gave it five.
5, yeah. I think I gave it 5. I know I gave 5.
I know you
remember.
Gave it 5, yes.
I love the changes from the comic book. The ones that we already talked about, Chief Giles and Mark's mission. I think that was a very interesting change. The huge, huge change of freaking Kyle kidnapping his mom and bringing her home. Like, that was a crazy, crazy addition and change, which led to a very epic moment of an epic fail on the part of Kyle and Reverend Anderson of, I guess, trying to exorcise her back to life because they've got the demons out, but he wants her to be normal again, which, again, was a very sad moment. Like you said, I love that they're building this world up even more. We're getting more backstory on a lot of the characters. We're getting more meat for some of these characters, especially like Chief Giles and Mark. Reverend Anderson's getting more stuff. He's getting a quasi love life. I know. What the hell's going on there?
I loved how all those little ladies seemed to be fighting over him at that little luncheon. And that one just jumped right out there, you know, and hey, I'd love to be a part of your put the butts in the seat gang.
Yeah. Anderson's army.
Yes. I love that. She's beautiful. And he seemed like after he got talked into it, because like you said, his secretary, she's all, oh yeah, you are booked up except for supper.
Yeah, except for today. I love that, you know, the side eye that he gave her.
Yeah.
Savior Malls. That's just what I'm going to refer to her.
Savior Malls, okay.
Yeah, going on. And I love seeing more of Kyle with his mom. We get more of their happier time. So, yeah, I mean, it was great. I mean, everything that we talked about in our top 3, I thought was fantastic about this episode. It was great.
But I need to know why 3/4 of a bacon was not given. That's, you know, you're going to ask me to say why I was going to give it 5. I want to know why you didn't give it 5. What's wrong with you?
Why did I not give it 5?
I didn't beat you enough as a child.
You didn't. You didn't beat me. And I'm going back over all of my notes.
Yeah. I mean, because you are historically a high scorer.
I know. I think that's the only reason why I did not give it a 5 bacons out of 5 is because I'm trying, you know, I'm turning a new leaf and I'm trying to be more objective, I guess, with my scores.
Which,
there's no fact-based scoring in this. This is all my opinion. You know, it's all subjective opinion.
Your opinion is wrong, but that's fine. It's okay. We'll go with it. Wrong.
Well, let us know, what do you score episode 2 of Outcast in the comments down below. Do you agree with my mom that it's 5 out of 5 bacons that I'm
five
a fool?
5 out of 5 out of 5. Yeah, or Justin.
You never take 3/4 of a bacon away from this amazing episode. So definitely let us know. Let us know all your thoughts. What the hell is going on with the mysterious headed man? Who is he?
Is he the devil? Is he the devil?
Yes, the devil. And what do you think happened with Kyle? Was he killed or is he just choked out momentarily? Like, you know, was he getting just a little sleeper hold?
Yeah.
I don't know about that. And the other question I want to ask people in the comments below, Patricia and Mildred, those are the two ladies that were definitely vying for Reverend Anderson's love the most. Patricia is the younger one. Mildred's a little bit older one. Mildred, she seems evil as fuck to me. So I want to know, do you think these two are playing Reverend Anderson? Because at this point, we don't know how far this shit goes with these, you know, demons out there.
Yeah.
Like, are they just throughout the town and they do a better job of hiding it? You know, because Josh, he wasn't hiding shit. He was creepy. So maybe other demons throughout the town they're better at hiding stuff. So let us know all those thoughts in the comments down below. You can email us. It's rantpocalypse@gmail.com. You can find us on Twitter. It's @rantpocalypse. You can see it across the screen here. You can see my mom's Twitter as well. You can go follow her as well. It's @DitsyDJ. Thanks so much for joining us on our episode 2 discussion of Outkast entitled I Remember When She Loved Me. Maybe Allison will love him again, or maybe his mom will love him again.
That's what I was thinking. Either way. Yeah. But I do love you, Justin, so there you go.
Oh, appreciate it. Thank you so much. I love you too, Mom. All right. Thanks so much for joining us, and we will be back to recap episode 3.
Bye. I need a dollar, dollar, dollar. That's what I need. Hey, hey. Well, I need a dollar, dollar, dollar. That's what I need. Hey, hey. Said I need a dollar, dollar, dollar. That's what I need. And if I share